Welcome to the 11th Monkey on My Back podcast. Feed your geek addiction at mombcomics.com, where you'll find news, reviews and plenty of good comic book stuff. Life together and ramble on about stuff. We stand around our spinning orders and spotlight, some single shot trades, Monkey on My Back podcast. We don't hate comics, we just hate anything that isn't comics. Around the table tonight are...
Hey!
Well done.
That was good.
Hello, I'm James.
Oh, hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Jane.
Yay, well done, Jane.
Thank you.
That was good.
Right. You didn't sound nervous or anything.
That's good.
You did really well. You should probably present the flagship news show on Radio 4, the Today programme. I think you'd be an excellent foil for John Humphreys.
How old are you?
I'm 78 and three quarters. What age do you have to give up saying how old you are in fractions? I'm 8 and 3/4 or something. You know,
to begin with, you do everything in months, don't you?
True.
Until you're 2 or something.
Isn't it up until 18 months? That really does my head in.
So when you're a baby and someone asks you how old you are, you say, I'm 17 months.
Yes, I'm 16 months now, why do you ask?
Suck on your pipe.
Yeah. Would you pass me that shag?
And, I forgot for a minute that shag is a tobacco.
Shag is a type of tobacco that you smoke in a pipe.
Up until... it's the point at which you want to appear older, I think. Mm,
okay.
When you're little, you want to seem older.
Yeah.
So you're constantly, amping up how old you are. And then you hit a point where you... And I think it's maybe different for everyone.
I suppose it's when you hit 16 and you turn around, you're 18 to get into everywhere.
Yes,
that's
right.
So
18 is the acceptable line of demarcation where you no longer have to put fractions in your age. So there you are, that's cleared that one up.
Up until recently, I thought the most peculiar television programme in the world was My Super Sweet 16, because it was upsetting.
Mm.
But apparently there is something more unusual and peculiar, and that's My Super Sweet 16, the UK edition.
Yes, I saw that for the first time the
other
day.
When has 16 been a thing? We've got 18 and we've got 21.
That's a good point you make there, because when I was briefly watching the programme thinking, oh my God, they're actually celebrating her 18th birthday, so it wasn't her 16th.
Well, that's peculiar.
Yeah.
And I don't think it works very well when you have American shows like that and they transpose them into an English show. Transpose was absolutely...
I don't know about you, but I think Americans seem innately, especially well-to-do Americans, seem innately cooler.
And
the American ones, they're all like all of the dads and stuff, they're rappers or they're big businessmen or something, and they're all quite cool. They're assholes, but they're quite cool.
No, I think it's just Americans' innate ability to be exuberant when sober. Because in England, we're either dull or we're pissed out of our heads and quite scary.
Well, that bodes well for this, because I'm not drinking this week.
I'm not drinking this week.
Jane?
Oh, it's dull all the way then.
Yay!
Before we, I think, address the fact that there are two people that aren't here this week that occasionally are here, we should probably clear up some things from last week.
Hang on. Yeah, we're probably all right.
Yeah, dead air. That's exciting.
No, sorry, I was just wondering if we could hear that you're about to apologise about something.
I'm about to apologise for something which I think actually...
You can probably hear in the background.
Hearing the voices from afar is... Richard claimed that my wife was away last week because she was having an affair. I'd like to clear up now that she wasn't having an affair. She was having some affairs with several people. My wife is... She's a loving woman.
Yeah, she's got a lot of love to give.
The reason she was away for 3 nights is I believe there were at least 6 men that she was seeing while she was away.
She's busy then.
She was fucking exhausted when she came back. Bless her.
There are she's clearly on the phone in the other room at the moment.
To one of the men,
probably,
that she's been having an affair with while I'm doing the bloody podcast, I think she's got a sodding cheek.
This is the special cuckold edition.
It is, I like absolutely. Yeah, I am a cuckold.
We should also apologise to Jane's mum, who apparently listens to this.
Yes.
Because we are going to get her to swear at some point.
Yes. It's my ambition to get her to say the C word for the first time on our podcast.
But we know the C word's not allowed.
No, it's fine when ladies say it.
Oh, okay. No, it's a bit sexy when ladies
say it. It is sexy when ladies say it.
How is it sexy when ladies say it?
Well, you say it and I'll tell you.
I'm going to say it.
Okay.
My fiancé doesn't like it very much. So getting her to say it is awesome.
It's a word that I always find you have to check with ladies before you say it, just to make sure they're not going to be offended.
Yeah.
That's best.
It is. Well, it's good to have a proper swear word that you can still roll out when you really want to.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going well, isn't it? We thought maybe with only 3 of us, we could rattle through this quite quickly.
But who are we missing?
What's going on?
I don't think we're missing anyone. We've got an innate ability to talk shit. Well, we're missing Richard and John. I think we need to embrace that. And obviously last week, Richard revealed to everyone who listens to this that he wasn't actually training to be a ninja. That was a little conceit that we cobbled together to explain why he wasn't there.
I think he's a very idealistic man, and I don't think he liked the fact that we were misleading. It pulled at him, didn't it? He doesn't drink, actually. All that stuff about being drunk, he meant on the inner sadness.
It was, and I think appearing on the podcast, working on our blog, as he does very hard, and obviously advocating digital comics, he was actually hiding his true feelings. Richard and John have actually denounced the modern world. Mm. They've given up their computers and their Kindles and their iPods, and they've gone to live in a all-homosexual Amish community. In Western Scotland.
It's all beards in an Amish community.
It is all beards. They said because obviously we're still friends, they try and appear on the podcast.
For now.
For now. Unfortunately, though, in the community there, the gay Amish community they're in Western Scotland, Thursday nights is couples night, where they snuggle together, drink flavoured waters, usually. I think they flavour them with nettles and thistles and so forth. And they like to read religious text by candlelight together. So I would say hello to them. I hope you're enjoying the podcast, but
probably not going to.
No. I think maybe that little moment of silence we had earlier, we dedicate that to John and Richard.
Spiritually, I think that would have touched on both of them.
They can probably feel us in their hearts. And I'm not going to elaborate any further about what they're going to feel later on this evening, but I don't think that's... Anyway.
You're right, yes. That was so much better than what I was going to say. They're going to hate us.
They are going to hate us.
Hey, but they're not allowed to. Oh, no, hang on, are Amish people allowed to hate?
Yeah, they won't hear it. I don't know.
Who is it? Who isn't? Is it Buddhists?
Everyone should just like everyone.
They should. They should, but that isn't the world we live in, James.
It should.
Buddhists are just generally quite chilled out and quite nice, I find, from personal experience.
What did everyone get up to this week, aside from those two? Who we don't have to talk about anymore.
Was it Jane? What did you get up to this week?
Well, the weekend, I did my vampire hunting weekend.
Uh-huh.
Killing vampires is much harder than you think it would be.
Is it more hard than killing zombies?
Yes.
Doesn't sound like
they move quicker, don't they? They're more wily.
It's the penetrating breastbone of the stake. That's the part that's really hard.
You just said two words that I don't think you're allowed to say anymore on the podcast.
Steak and...
breast?
No. Penetrating and breast.
Oh, was it penetrating and breast?
Why am I not allowed to say those two words?
I'm a very impressionable young man.
It was in context.
Not in my head,
anyway,
it wasn't.
And the obvious outcome of not killing your vampire completely is death. So, where a zombie, bit bitten, might catch something and become a zombie, a vampire would just kill you.
I don't think you fully appreciate it. I don't think the weekend you did with your zombie training gave you the ability to fully appreciate quite how dangerous zombies are.
I think it's because we didn't have real zombies. Health and safety issues.
You had real vampires.
Yeah, we had real vampires.
What's in the vampire? Is that 2 weekends of vampire training?
No, it's 1 weekend of zombies, 1 weekend of being frozen, and 1 weekend of
vampires.
Oh, yeah,
sorry. I get confused because we talk about what we're going to do and then I get confused. I don't know what I've been doing or what I'm...
I know what I was doing back in the real world.
What were you
doing?
I was
being resourceful this weekend.
What were you doing?
As I said, Nicola was away, so I had to fend and provide for myself.
Yeah.
So I did some online shopping.
Was it Christmas
and
shopping?
And once you'd got through all the porn and sex toys and stuff?
No, it was online grocery shopping.
All right.
With a well-known... no, I'm going to say it. Sainsbury's.
Were they good?
Who are excellent. I recommend anyone who has an opportunity to shop at a Sainsbury's store... Does so.
You sound like you have shares in this company.
I might have worked for that company for a while, and I might have received some as part of my pay package at some point.
This is a little bit feeble, because, okay, aside from the vampire slaying, I went to IKEA for the first time this weekend. So basically, we're just proving how very, very middle class we are.
No, but I have...
Is vampire getting middle class?
No, that's aside from...
I have reason to be concerned about the way... The people who pick and pack online grocery shopping. Pick and pack, that's what they do. They pick it.
They've got a name,
they pack
they?
It.
I can't remember the calls.
Pick and packers.
No, there's an actual title for it.
Yeah,
them.
Pick and packers.
No, it's not pick and packers.
Pick and packers.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Pick and packers.
Continue your story.
That's this
James.
Week's John Peel. Mm. So I ordered six 2 litre bottles of water, okay? Which clearly they'd run out. Delicious water.
Yeah, it is delicious.
That I like to keep in the fridge because I'm a little bit too fey to have tap water.
Because we are very middle class.
I am very middle class, yeah, surprisingly so. So I ordered these 6 bottles of 2 litre water. They'd obviously run out. So if you've not done online grocery shopping before, you must. If they don't have what you've asked for, they have replacements. Now, instead of replacing it with a smaller number of 2 litre bottles, they replaced it with a pack of 6 750 centilitre bottles, as if the most important thing to me when buying water is the number of bottles I have, rather than how much water is contained in the bottles.
Maybe it's concentrated water.
It is. How would you unconcentrate the water?
Add water to it.
You know how they're concentrating everything?
You're
fabric softener and squash. It's concentrated water.
That's the stupidest.
You just add water to it. No, that is really fucking stupid.
That's the sort of fucking logic that's being applied at Sainsbury's by the pick and packers. That means that I get 6 bottles of smaller water rather than a fewer number, but the same size. It's stupid.
Did the grocery delivery people do any other substitutions? Or I'm actually asking.
Yes, they
that
did. I had one other substitution really fucked me off as well. I ordered a packet of roast beef Monster Munch, and they didn't have any. I had pickled onion. I hate pickled onion Monster Munch.
I will take those off your hand if you don't like them.
My wife's eaten them.
Oh. Pickled.
And all of my double deckers, but that's another story.
Monster Munch is the one range of flavours. I like all of them.
Really?
Yes. Because I don't like cheese.
I only really like roast beef.
I like roast beef, Flaming Hot, and pickled onion. All equally delicious flavours.
Yeah. So everyone's getting a bit of advertising from us.
Yeah.
We didn't buy anything at IKEA, but I think we're going to. It's a bit disturbing because I've resisted it for all this time. I've thought, and it's a horrible building. It's like this behemoth on the other end of Southampton. It's a nightmare. But the modular furniture is apparently, I'd forgotten, but it's apparently something I've been fantasising about ever since I moved into my own place when I was about 16. Modular shelving specifically just fits perfectly with my mind.
Your
set.
Modular mind.
Yeah.
IKEA stuff is incredibly easy to put together.
Well, that's going to have to be because I'm practically functionally brain dead. So, and I will be by the time we've moved into our new house and can afford the IKEA stuff. So I should stop doing the patting myself thing. I did it all over the other podcast. I don't think it picks up. But
did you do anything else other than go to IKEA?
We had a very nice weekend with the in-laws. They were my in-laws, not Amy's. They're her parents. But
thank you for clearing it up.
just in case anyone...
You'll seem to be in-laws.
Yeah, if we're being facetious. Yes, definitely.
Actually, compounding our middle classness, actually, before that, we walked in Southampton.
Oh, yes,
we
walked dead
with
dogs.
With our dogs.
That was lovely.
If we'd only had shooting rifles with us... Oh, that'd be upper middle class, though.
That would be upper middle class. Yeah. And we bumped into two lesbian friends that I have, and that's got to be the holy trinity of white middle classness.
Although they've got the cutest Weimaraner puppy in the universe, haven't they?
Yeah. Yes. We probably shouldn't identify them much more than that.
Oh, shit.
It's all right, it doesn't matter.
The likelihood of them listening to this has got to be about a million to one.
Yeah, to be honest, it's not like anyone's going to mistake, you know, the... anyway, so that was all good. I don't know what else happened. I read some comics. No, that was before the podcast, wasn't it? I read my comics.
Did you not read comics over the weekend? There isn't a day that goes by when I don't read comics.
Really?
Pretty much.
You're much more hardcore than I am.
Well, I'm relatively new back in, aren't I? I'm still really evangelical and full of excitement.
We did... what else did we do? Oh, I can't. I've been thinking about Moon an awful lot this weekend, and I don't know if it's that I watched it over the weekend or if I watched it a couple of weeks ago, but I just keep thinking about it. If you haven't seen Moon, you should see Moon. It's a wonderful science fiction movie.
I got to see Coraline in 3D on Blu-ray.
Oh,
and it was lovely.
Coraline is amazing. I love that film.
That is good.
Yeah. And of course, it's written by Neil Gaiman, who's a fucking genius.
It was a very brilliant film.
Look at me making our ramble all comic book related. Right at the end.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. I got it. I mean, the other notable thing that happened to me is I got caught in the downpour. There was a downpour yesterday, and I managed to get caught in it.
Oh, I got wet too.
It's the beauty of Twitter. Mm. One of the beauties of Twitter is that it extends the pathetically mundane conversations that you have in your own offices and stuff outwards. Mm. So there was lightning in Southampton yesterday. Now, if you come from another country, as I'm sure some of the people listening to this probably do, you might be used to more extreme weather. But in England, it's pretty much just maybe a little bit of sun and then rain. And, you know, it varies a little bit, but it's never particularly extreme. Yeah. We had lightning yesterday, and everybody in my office got up and went and looked out the window. And it was really heavy rain. Everyone went out and looked at the window, and all the people getting caught in it. So that was about half an hour of our day. And then people on Twitter started saying, was that lightning? That was lightning. And then
it was a big event then.
Yeah, and then some people got arch about the fact that other people were mentioning lightning. Oh yeah, it's a bit of lightning. Don't get excited.
Well,
it became a thing.
You shouldn't use Twitter during a lightning storm. You should unplug your Twitter feed.
You should unplug
absolutely,
your internet.
Absolutely, yeah. It attracts like no Twitter specifically attracts lightning.
Probably.
Does it? I don't fucking know.
That's not science. That's just something you've made.
It's science if I say it's science. If I write a letter to the Scientist magazine, there probably is one called that, then, and it gets published, then it's fact.
Has climate change been debunked when we had a podcast last week?
Has it been debunked?
Apparently we're not in as much trouble as we were. Some British hacker, some 14-year-old or something, hacked into some network or other, science network or other.
Yeah.
And managed to unearth a whole bunch of documentation and letter of emails between scientists, basically fixing their research and stuff. Talking about how they were going to have to fix their research because the research they were doing and the outcomes they were getting wasn't making the climate change thing look as bad as it actually.
What about the ice melt? Oh, so it's all lies and a conspiracy to make us by the energy. Light bulb people.
Probably the light bulb people, those wankers.
Yeah.
Although, I hate them.
Oh, this is going to get into a serious conversation.
We should talk about
yeah,
comic
which is
books.
Boring. Fuck the Earth. No, not really. I'm only pretending to want to fuck the Earth. Although, I love it so much, I would totally do the Earth.
It's
difficult.
Cool.
Because
right in the core.
Oh no, that really will burn
so,
your dinkle.
Apparently Jane can't swear, but she can suggest that someone might
fuck a planet
in a vaguely dirty way want to fuck the planet right in its core.
Well, it doesn't have an ear because I said in its ear, but in its core.
Oh my sweet lord!
I don't know. You're on kind of shaky ground because by human standards, the planet Earth is very old, so that's probably okay. But on the cosmic scale, probably kind of a child amongst all of the other planets.
Ooh.
We should move on.
What?
Yes.
Spinning orders.
So, James can go first.
Oh, shit.
Yay!
That's never a good idea,
I don't know
is it?
Because you made a big thing about reading all the comics. I thought you'd be excited to talk
about
them.
I got home from work early. I only got four comics this week, and I managed to read all of them About an hour before we did the podcast, which is unreal for
me. Those aren't his,
no, they're not mine. I don't need those.
What are you doing, Jane?
I've got mine too.
I was trying to be subtly helpful.
I mentioned the two that I didn't get because I really enjoyed everything I read this week, which isn't always the case. I always really enjoy everything I read. The two I won't be talking about is the surprisingly good Dark Avengers Annual, which is worth a. It's a £4.99, so it's about £3.70 something, I think.
Yeah.
But it's well worth the read. It's a really good story, and something I think you're going to talk about as well, which is the one-shot Siege the Cabal.
Do you want to talk about the other one? Because I can talk about this. We can talk about whatever we want. There are no rules.
No, you talk about that because I want to talk about issue 37 of The Boys by Garth Ennis and Barrett Robinson. If you're not reading it, you should because it's brilliant.
You fucking love that book.
I absolutely adore The Boys. I cannot get enough of it. I enjoy it to reverence and its witty nature.
What's a quick summary of the story?
It's a deconstruction of the superhero myth, but The Boys basically are a group of outcasts or ne'er-do-wells and strange people, one of whom looks like Simon Pegg.
A lot like Simon Pegg, yeah. But has a proper Scottish accent.
That's right. Well, Nick's very amusing because Jane's just asked me to summarise The Boys for her in a nutshell, and I was physically floundering as I'm trying, to sum up.
Sorry.
It's nice that James has such faith in me, but no, actually, I was barely containing myself because I just wanted to shout, James loves The Boys. Over and over again. I kind of wanted him to keep saying, The Boys. I love The Boys. The Boys are just the best. I can't get enough.
Okay. So it's a group led by a guy called Butcher.
He's an horrible fucker.
Yeah, he is. But he's a lovable rogue, I think.
He's a lovable rogue.
Yeah, and he's got a group of... Basically, there are a bunch of guys that work kind of with the CIA to keep the superheroed characters of the universe they inhabit under control. So you've got Butcher, who leads up Mother's Milk, who's essentially his second in command, Huey, and then the mysterious female. She is mysterious, the female, and a character called Frenchie.
Garth Ennis is brilliant.
He's French. if you love the fact that he's called the Frenchie, you will fucking love issue 37. But anyway, the series so far, there's an overriding conspiracy with Voight, who's a company that controls the superpowered heroes in that universe, and it's gone on very... I think John in particular didn't like the series where they deconstructed the X-Men, which was a particularly amusing series of comics, which I think forms trade 3, if I'm right, but
I only just bought the first trade. Yeah. It is okay. Awesome, though.
It's but really it's cool. Excellent. It's irreverent. It really just jabs fun at the superhero mythos. It's very good. The last few issues, they've been telling backstories. So the last two issues, I think they were telling Mother's Milk his backstory. 37 tells the backstory of Frenchie, as told.
That's a really big French stick he's got on the cover.
As told by Frenchie. Well, absolutely. Well, this goes back to when he returned from the war and went back.
Which war?
We're not told.
Oh, okay, just the war.
He came back from the war.
Haw-hee-haw.
Well, it's funny you should say that. Have you read this?
No, I just guessed.
Oh, that's actually a reference. It's not called Haw-hee-haw. He actually comes from a village called Franglais. Where they speak in a strange mix of English and French. The title of the episode is called La Plume de la Dimarton est sur la table.
Uh-huh.
Or what was it? The feather of my arm is on the table.
You checked it.
Yeah, which I'm embarrassed about. Well, I recognise table, but it's the feather of my arm is on the table.
Because it's exactly the same word.
So
can I just stop you for a second? I'd like you to also say the other French phrase that you know.
Le songe dans l'arbre.
L'arbre. That's Eddie Izzard.
Le songe dans l'arbre.
If I like it when you say that.
Regardez le songe.
Have you ever seen, there's a sketch on Big Train where there's this lady, it's like this little French lane, and she's driving along, and Simon Pegg comes in the other is coming in the other direction. He's obviously sort of local, and the lady says, "Oh," she sort of stops him and says, "Oh, excuse me, do you know the way to such and such a place?" And he just says in perfect English, "Oh, sorry, I don't speak English."
Yes.
There's this whole...
It's Mark Keep, isn't it? Isn't it?
No, I think he's in it as well. Maybe Kevin Eldon. It's very good.
The actor Kevin Eldon.
You should go out and buy Big Train, the DVD, if you
want. He's excellent. I particularly like the office where they only got the job there so they could masturbate.
The masturbating office. Yeah, that's very brilliant.
As probably you'd call it. So he's returned from the war and he's come back to Franglais, where he holds high hopes of reuniting himself with his love that he left behind, but... Wouldn't you know it, Black Pierre has stolen her away from him. But as luck would have it, and you can see it's a lovely panel there where it shows Frenchie making love to his sweetheart in various positions.
Graphically.
I particularly like the one, very graphically, I like the one where she's beating him off in the car.
You mean she's trying to stop him making love to her?
No, she's tugging his tool.
Oh, beating, right, sorry.
So he has a brief confrontation with Black Pierre, but he's renounced violence as he's returned from the war. But as luck would have it, he's arrived at Franglais just in time for their annual festival, which I can't remember the name of it. It's a festival. Oh, that's it. Ho hee ho.
The Ho
hee ho festival.
How is that written?
H-A-W-H-E something or other, H-E-W. Which is lovely. Oh, there we go. H-A-W, H-E-E, H-A-W. Ho-hee-ho.
That's how I'd spell it, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how Garth Ennis spells it. And they dress up in striped jumpers with onions around their neck, and they joust each other with giant baguettes.
Excellent. That's how I imagine it is from all of those tricolore books when I was at school.
Écoutez, répétez.
La La Rochelle.
Jean-Claude lived in La Rochelle.
Everyone lived in La Rochelle. Have you ever heard of La Rochelle? Aside from in those books.
No, you never hear of La Rochelle unless you listen to the tricolore tapes and read the load of old shit. Anyway, they joust with French dicks and
on bicycles.
And
their onions hanging off the bicycles.
Anyway, Frenchie's father insists that he regains his honour by calling out Black Pierre and jousting with him. Frenchie refuses because he's a pacifist. And then his father jousts on his behalf.
I'm guessing what happened. How much of the comic are we telling people?
I'm going to probably spoil it here. Something untoward happens to his father, which means Frenchie renounces his pacifist ways. He exacts revenge.
Yeah, okay.
on someone. I'm not going to tell you how. It's the way he does it. Obviously, he's going to exact revenge at some point. It's how he does it.
His dad is having a joust with Black Pierre.
Yeah, and something untoward happens
to his dad.
Yeah,
and then makes him want to seek revenge. Seek revenge on someone.
On someone.
But you're not saying who. No. Oh, I don't think that spoils it at all, actually.
It's not who, it's how. I have spoiled the shit. It's a one-off story. It's not going to spoil the art.
I was going to buy it as well.
Were you bollocks?
I was going to borrow it.
We shouldn't do that.
I've done it again, and I spoiled the shit.
It sounds a bit like a mix between Inglourious Basterds and A Very Long Engagement.
I get the funny feeling it's a lot better than Inglourious Basterds.
It doesn't sound better than A Very Long Engagement, which is lovely. It has Audrey Tautou in.
What I like about this, he's not
everyone loves her.
She's lovely. She's lovely. One.
He's not so much sod Audrey Tautou. I'm talking about the bloody.
She's
boys.
Like a modern day Audrey Hepburn. She's the queen. She's the princess.
Now, Audrey Hepburn was extraordinarily long neck. Audrey Hepburn had.
I know she was she is probably the reason why I am not allowed near the giraffes at Marwell anymore. I get aroused. It's the necks. I can't help it. It's Audrey Hepburn's fault.
The giraffes at Marwell are vicious.
Yes, they are. What I really
like—it's probably my fault as well.
It probably is. You've scarred them for life.
What I really like about this edition of this comic we're talking about—sorry—he's he's taken a sidestep. He's not so much knocking the superhero community. He's I think on the face of it looks like he's having a pop at the French. I think it's more having a pop at the preconceived notions that we in the English-speaking Western world have of life in France, and this idea that people do like to ride around on bicycles with onions on their necks going hoi hoi hoi. It's more poking fun at our xenophobic attitudes towards the French in the UK as much as any. It's a hilarious issue.
Do you enjoy it? Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
Did you love it?
I love the boys.
There you go.
My name is James, and I love the boys. But it's just the funniest book on the shelves by a long way, in my opinion.
Would you say that the boys are exquisite?
The boys are exquisite. Yes.
You're like a child, Nick.
I'm really fucking
you are.
Really fucking annoying, precocious child.
With a beard.
A faintly Cuban revolutionary style moustache.
That's the other thing I didn't say when we were talking about what I've been doing. I've been working really hard on it. I've been concentrating really hard on it to the extent that I've completely forgotten I'm doing it. I have been trying really, really hard, putting loads of energy into growing hair out of my face.
It irritates me how much it suits you, because I've tried growing a Zapata before and I look like...
Is that what this is called?
It's a Zapata moustache, isn't it? I look like an idiot. Yeah, they're... Yeah.
I haven't seen you without moustache, so...
Have you not? Did I? Oh, no, of course. No, I normally have a beard.
I've never seen Jane without a beard.
No, well...
Nobody has.
Now you know why you'll never get to see her face. She's a freakish bearded lady.
This is working out quite well with just the three of us.
Isn't it just?
We're like Charlie's Angels if two of Charlie's Angels were blokes and both of them could be Bosley really, really easily.
I could be Bosley, yeah. We both could, wouldn't we? We're built like Bosleys.
Well, the Three Musketeers, if D'Artagnan was the oldest instead, because he was smallest.
I see myself as a sort of Porthos sort of character.
Yeah, I'd be D'Artagnan. No. And one of them was a girl. Or would D'Artagnan be a...
No, it'd be Jane Tanyan.
D'Artagnan.
D'Artagnan. Who I think was a masseuse, I once had. My second book that I wanted to talk about, I can't remember if I've spoken about this on a podcast before, which is embarrassing.
You mentioned it in passing a few issues.
It's issue 11 of The Mighty. I assume this is the penultimate issue. The way the story... I'm not going to spoil this one, I promise. Mm. The way this story is going, 12 is likely to be an absolute finite end to the series. So it's a two-trade-length story. It's obviously the story of Alpha One, who's this universe's only superhero, who's been... doing awful things to people. Mm. It's a story, really, of how absolute power corrupts and how, you know, what would happen in a world where there was only one superhero. You know, he's basically gone mad with the power, decided he knows what's best, as these sort of people do, knows what's best for the human race, and the only man it can stop him is... the name of the guy completely escapes me.
It
is his right-hand man. I should have probably said that. Yeah,
in the first, I read the first issue when it came out, and it was mostly intrigue, and there seemed to be conspiracy going on, but it was quite interesting.
It was. I mean, I think it was very cleverly done. I don't think it was immediately apparent from the first issue that was necessarily the way the story was going to go, and it's Peter J. Tomasi, who's written it, and really well scripted, well thought out. Superbly paced story. Keith Champagne is on art as well. It just marries beautifully. It's lovely, sort of bold superhero art, but a lovely dark story as well. And unusual because it's a DC title. It's a mainstream DC title. So.
But he's not in the mainstream.
It's not in
DC universe.
It's not in continuity. And given, I think, obviously, excuse me, it says to be concluded in the next one. I can't imagine that Superman's going to fly in the next issue. I imagine it'll be released as two trades. It's going to be 12 issues long. Well worth picking up. I think it's worth £20 of anyone's money. Really, really well thought out, well written superhero tale.
The first couple of issues were great.
Yeah.
And I think have any trades come out yet? Or
I don't think so. I'd be surprised if they didn't release them either as two at the same time. Or I'm pretty sure the first one hasn't come out, or even a double 12 issue long bumper trade.
Bum.
Bum, bum, bum. I love the boys and bum.
You think I'm annoying and precocious.
You are annoying and precocious. The other thing I got today, which I was excited about, I spoke about it, Trade 5 of Transmet.
Ooh.
Came out today, so that would keep going over the weekend. He said, looking round at his bookshelf lovingly, at the fifth issue of Transmet.
It is wonderful, wonderful comic.
Also, Alice, who's their diva on Twitter, asked me to remind people, because I think she's very pleased it's coming out. I think Daredevil Noir.
All right. Comes out. I haven't read any of the books.
Nor have I actually, but it comes out in hardback. I think she says it ships this week, so that's something I'll be looking out for. I'll be picking up because, well, she's recommending it and says it's worth talking about. Then it must be worth picking up and talking about. So when I've read it, I'll talk about it.
I wonder if that noise will be picked up on the
what the sound of my central heating going on.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, because the central heating's in a cupboard to the right of us. In our JLA-style space capsule that we're in this week.
Our planning was superb.
Yes.
That's superb planning.
Well, I think if you're going to do a podcast in the winter in England, you've got to accept that the...
Exactly, yeah.
And that's the sound of the radiator behind you filling up.
You've got to
do
it in a kettle. Actually, it's probably not that audible. The listeners probably don't know what we're talking about because I'm sitting right in front of it, which might be why I'm cooking up a little bit.
Yeah, you look hot. You always look hot, though.
Oh...
So, Naughty Fuck Nick.
Yeah. Naughty Nick now.
What did you buy? Or what have you been reading this week?
Right, I bought North 40. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I bought four comics this week. I won't say too much about New Mutants because I think I've pretty much mentioned it every one that's come out. Which means we've been doing this for... This must be the third month.
It's the 30th decade. No, it's something like that. This is number 11.
All right, okay. Yeah,
we've done one a week, so work it out yourself, children.
It's continuing. This issue's a little bit flatter than the previous issue. I've been talking about New Mutants.
Do you mean the podcast on New Mutants?
No, the podcast. Don't be doing it. Don't be...
Am I doing it now?
Being down on this.
I like it.
We're at the half-hour mark, so if you've managed to listen this far, yeah, congratulations, well done.
Make yourself a badge, and maybe go out and treat yourself to maybe a commemorative tea towel.
And take a picture and send it in to us.
Yeah, take a picture of your homemade badge and your commemorative tea towel and send it to monkeyonmyback@gmx.com, and the best one will win a prize that we've not yet decided on. Maybe this empty bottle...
Or a handkerchief, or socks.
Maybe a comic book. We'll make our mind up if you send us a picture.
So anyway, it's just a continuation of the story. One thing that was interesting about this issue, though, it's still quite good. Two people get chopped in half in this story.
Oh,
that doesn't really spoil it because you don't know who they are, although you do know to expect it. Now there was an advert in this though. Rick Jones has come back to the Marvel Universe, but as the A-bomb. And he looks a bit like Doomsday from the Superman comics. And that's going to... There's going to be a slightly recurring theme in what I talk about. So, and they've got all of the adverts. It's one of the... Although I really like the New Mutants comic, I was more excited by the adverts in it, which is lame. It means I've been back reading comics for, like, that little bit too long, because... Even though I know it's a big event comic and they're generally bad things, I'm getting quite excited about Siege.
I've got a little bit of a fanboy hard-on for the Siege.
I'm actually picking up on little bits of information they're feeding out in the adverts. And I don't like it. But anyway, so my other two comics that I bought are both Siege-related. I mentioned Thor first because I know that James is going to want to say a little bit about Siege as well, about Siege the Cabal as well. Now, it's issue 604 of Thor, and it's written by Kieran Gillen with art by Billy Tan, and quite nice colour by Christina Strain. It picks up immediately. It's the first of Kieran Gillen's run. I think he's doing six issues of it. And it picks up immediately after J. Michael Straczynski's run, I think. And I have to admit, I was a little bit lost with some of it. It's dropped... It's a little bit... I read an interview with Kieran... No, I read a blog post by Kieran Gillen where he was saying that this first issue is basically him getting all of the characters to where he needs them to be so that they can start punching each other or hitting each other or whatever, which is perfectly acceptable. But I think although Kieran Gillen's writing is good and the art's good in this issue, there's lots of stuff that's been happening in the book up till now that I don't know about, and it was a little bit confusing. Not quite knowing where all the characters are and what state they're in. I thought Lockie was still a woman, so that's a little bit confusing. There's a really good there's some really good ideas in this comic though. Now let's see if I can sort of nail them down. The first thing is, although people probably know this already if they've been following the Marvel comics at all, for some reason Asgard is now on Earth.
Yeah.
And all of the Asgardians, I think it's in the middle of the in the middle of the US somewhere.
Yeah.
And all of the Asgardian gods are there. And so they're trying to fit in with the world around them. And at the same time, something's been going on with Doctor Doom and Lockie, and it transpires in this issue, I think probably in the previous issue to this, that Doctor Doom and Lockie have convinced the Asgardians to leave Asgard and go and live in Latveria, which is where the country that Doctor Doom has. As you can tell, this is quite a continuity-based comic. Yeah.
It's Thor. Yeah. Of course it is.
Yeah, he's convinced them to go to Latveria, and Asgardians have been going missing. And the reason they've been going missing, which I believe was...
Is it because Doctor Doom's a fucking arsehole?
He's trying to work out what makes Asgardians tick by dissecting them.
Oh, that'll help. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, because there's Asgardians in it, and there's Doctor Doom in it...
Boo.
Gillen has kind of opted to go with a sort of a Shakespearean feel to it. Not just because there's a sort of a tradition with some comic writers that when they write the Asgardians or whatever, everyone talks with yees and verily and stuff like that.
It's all called Shakespeare, isn't it?
It's not quite as bad as that.
Yeah.
But but basically the way everyone talks is very overwrought, and there's that sort of Shakespearean drama to everything. Mm-hmm. It's quite theatrical.
I think we can be honest enough to say, can't we, when it's bad in Thor books, it's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
When he started talking like that in the Ultimates version, where with Jeff Loeb writing, it was a little bit bad. There's a brilliant, I don't know what's going on here, there's a brilliant two pages where Donald Blake, who is Thor when he's human, gives Reed Richards a call. And there's just this bizarre page where Reed Richards is on the phone to him, and he's running some sort of unrelated experiment in the background that goes wrong. And so there's a completely unnecessary The Thing, Benjamin Grimm cameo in there, which is just really nice. But it's a really odd touch in the middle of the comic. But as much as I was a little bit confused around the middle of it, by the time all of the characters start to come together towards the end, and Doom kind of makes a couple of revelations at the end, you think you already know, think you know pretty much where it's gone. The last two or three pages are actually quite horrible. And it's good. I think it's gonna tie into the Siege because Lockie and Doctor Doom are both quite big players in that whole storyline.
And Thor's an Avenger.
And Thor's an Avenger, and has been tied into everything that's been going on for the last few years. But at the same time, I think I've said it before, I think Kieran Gillen, as good a comic writer as he is, I think when he's writing other people's, when he's writing Marvel's characters, he just has so much fun with the scale of everything. Yeah. This is so completely different a book from Sword, and he's written it completely different. But that book's great as well. And there are a couple of adverts for the Siege as well that are showing. One shows, it says the devastation, and then Siege, an event 7 years in the making, and it shows Avengers Mansion. Behind the Avengers gates exploding. And I think Avengers Mansion exploded a few years ago. Is that right?
I think...
I'm
pretty sure you're right, because obviously Hank Pym's had to rebuild it. He's got a new Avengers Mansion. There is a new one, though.
All right, so maybe that's what it is, but it looked to me like it was harking back to the Avengers Disassembled stuff years ago.
I'm pretty sure it... I don't know, they're all much of a muchness. They've not got much of a sense of flair when it comes to their architecture of those superheroes.
No. And then there's a suggestion that...
I don't know what I'm basing that accusation on at all.
There's a suggestion that Luke... There's an advert that suggests that Luke Cage dies in the most recent issue of New Avengers. I don't think that's going to happen. If it says it in the advert, it's probably not going to happen.
Are you accusing Marvel of misdirection in their advert?
Possibly. But there's another one, and it's weird, because I've got three books that are all from the Marvel stable, but they all have slightly different... They're all running with the Big Siege advert with the Avengers Mansion door, but then they all run with a slightly different... slightly different advertising, and there's one that's got a picture of Norman Osborn in like a throne, and it says, "Who is Norman's secret weapon?" And there's an array of people. Shall I mention them?
Yeah.
This is interesting. Starts with X-Man, who is Nathan Cable from another dimension.
Yeah.
I honestly thought he'd died. So then there's Mephisto, who I think has probably been kept busy enough with Spider-Man and fucking up Spider-Man's life. When they talk about who is Norman's secret weapon, this ties into something that happens in Siege of the Cabal. There's a powerhouse that turns up and you don't see them. Right. Then there's Odin, who I believe has been dead in the Marvel Universe for a while. Then there's Thanos, who I don't really like very much. The Beyonder, who is essentially a god, so I suspect wouldn't be working for Norman Osborn and wouldn't kill, attack Doctor Doom anyway. But then there's Molecule Man, who's turned up in a couple of comics recently.
Mm-hmm.
And the person I've left till last is the Scarlet Witch.
Ah, the Scarlet Witch.
And that's actually, once I started talking you through that, I felt like maybe I really shouldn't have bothered, because it's pretty boring running through all of those like that, except that the Scarlet Witch is kind of a recurring motif here on the podcast. John has pretty much decided
that the Scarlet Witch did it.
That the Scarlet Witch did it, whatever it turns out being.
I think that's John's comic book butler did it conceit, isn't it?
Mm.
He's right, it can be a... Oh, I've just had a tweet.
But the fact that she turned...
Hold on, it's from Joe Quesada. He said he's sending round the hand to sort you out for claiming that they're using misdirection in their advertising.
Oh, right, excellent.
So you've managed to piss Joe Quesada off live.
Brilliant.
How's he going to get into space?
Well, I suspect the hand will have some sort of access to... Joe Quesada will probably have access to some sort of...
I think he lives in a satellite, doesn't he? The Marvel satellite.
He probably does, yeah.
It's okay,
and
him
and Dan Didio sort of flick Vs at each other from... He's obviously in the...
What's the guy's name?
Dan Didio.
Dan Didio.
Dan Didio.
Didio.
He's in the JLA satellite flicking V's at
John. I'm anyone who thinks it's a little bit, who might think it's a little bit mean us mocking someone for their name, their surname, which, you know, it's possibly even cancer, an ethnic slur, because I have a free pass on taking the piss out of people's surnames, because my surname is Papakonstantinou. So basically, I've taken enough shit through my life that I can say anything about anybody's sinners. That's like a rule. I have it in writing from Jesus.
But
not God. So
no, well,
not quite the full pass.
No. Well,
I think that, yeah, but in the Christian doctrine, it's one of the same thing, isn't it? The Holy Trinity is Jesus.
Did you say the Holy Trinity?
I said Trinity, didn't I?
Oh, maybe you did. I don't know why.
But it isn't Jesus and the Holy Ghost and God. They're all one and the same thing, Jonah.
Everyone knows it secretly a bit better.
In mainstream Christian doctrine.
He's a bit more scary, isn't he?
Who, God?
What?
Yes.
He's ineffable. That's a bit scary.
I think Jesus is quite scary because he died and rose from the dead.
Zombie. You're
the one who's doing that nowadays.
Anyway, I don't... So close to his birthday, we shouldn't be knocking him.
No, we shouldn't. We're going to celebrate his birthday in style.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shall I move on to the next comment?
Yes,
please.
You built it up, so I want to hear now.
Because I don't want to get onto religion, because I talk
Jane?
A bit
no.
too much about it. Oh my!
Don't be mean
to
Jane.
Oh no, he didn't!
No!
Oh, I'm sorry, James.
The smack talking in the room.
Apology accepted.
So, having spent all of these weeks going on about how comics shouldn't just be superheroes, and there shouldn't be all continuity, did you just stick your fingers up at James? James sticked her fingers up at James.
I thought James was making a rude face behind my back, because he quite often does that. And he wasn't.
Not on this occasion, because I was engaging and I was quite interested in what Nick had to say about the comic he has in his.
But I'm wary of you.
You're wise to be wary of me. Side face.
I bought a one shot. This is how low I've sunk. I bought a continuity fixed one shot.
I bought the same one shot, Nick.
It's yeah, but you're lost. You're already lost.
I am truly lost.
It's Siege the Cabal. Now, we talked about Event Comics, we talked about how they're a bad idea, we've also kind of talked about how actually this one that Marvel have been doing does seem to have been heading somewhere.
Yeah.
And so the scale of it, as long as it finishes soon,
mm-hmm.
Has been quite impressive. James was talking about the Dark Avengers...
Annual.
The Dark Avengers Annual and Siege the Cabal. Now, sometimes reading Bendis' comics over the superhero comics over the last few years,
mm-hmm.
I've forgotten how exceptional a writer he was.
Oh, gotcha.
When I first started reading Jinx and Goldfish that he did all the art for years ago. Between the Dark Avengers one annual and this Siege the Cabal though, I mean, obviously, he's been thinking about these comics for a really long time, but considering they're basically just superhero comics, he's handling themes and dialogue and stuff with such skill, and it's all just coming together so nicely. Well, on the one hand, we know he's mm-hmm. been handling stuff well enough for long enough that he was at least going to make all the plots end up in the right place, but the way he's getting the characters to interact at this point, it's mm-hmm. almost like he's back to the writer that I remember from years ago, rather than the one who's been knocking out mm-hmm. several monthly comics, month after month mm-hmm. after month. And Siege the Cabal, the one-shot, is just... The structure of it is basically a fight between Norman Osborn. There's a few pages of Norman Osborn starting to unravel.
I was going
to
say, one of my favourite...
Just amazing.
Yeah, one of my favourite parts of the Dark Avengers is the way he's slowly starting to unravel Norman Osborn's life. You know, it's been done with real skill.
Mm.
It's been,
But then there's like this actual proper battle between the Cabal. The Cabal starts to fall apart, basically, and Doctor Doom and Osborn have a conflict, which is kind of back to the sorts of big scale comics that I remember from before, like when the first couple of volumes of the Ultimates, or the first volume of the Ultimates, sorry, or the Authority when Warren Ellis was writing it or something. It's like epics that it's like proper big scale fights that take like that. Jane's really distracting me because she's laughing at this Marvel Fest NYC 2009 thing in the middle.
It's the Spider-Man.
It's the Spider-Man. If you've got a Marvel comic, open it up, middle page. Anything that came out this week will have the Marvel Fest stuff in it.
Like five. You can't laugh at him.
It's the Spider-Man on the right-hand side in the centre of the page. Is Jane's dying looking at that picture. I don't think he is five, man. He's a fully grown man.
He's got a very shiny suit on.
He's Spider-Man. It doesn't matter if he's shiny.
But I've never noticed the gleam.
That's the real freaking Spider-Man.
I've never noticed the gleam on his suit before. I'm so sorry, Nick. Carry on. I'll skip that.
You're not sorry.
Not one little bit.
No. But the scale of... I mean, the scale of the superheroics is great. Now, my experience of most of the Marvel Universe... fights, especially in the Avengers recently, seems to have been a bunch of different superhero groups. One superhero group gets into a fight, then another superhero group turns up that's an opposing superhero group, or villains pretending to be a superhero group, and then another group comes in, And it's all been, it's just been a bit vague and pointless for me recently. But this is like a proper fight between Doctor Doom and Norman Osborn, and it's just really cool. And it's cool in a, you know, I say it unironically, it's really just really good superhero comics. Michael Lark does the art, and I haven't really seen much, because I think he's done a run on Daredevil that I'm picking up really slowly in graphic novels, but this is like proper superheroics, and I haven't really seen him do that before, and it works really well. He captures the his art, his quite human natural art translates really well into the big scale of this fight.
He captures an amazing lot of character. There's a lot of character in his faces.
Yeah,
isn't it?
His acting, the acting of the character, and the framing of everything is just really nice. And I read something about, I think it was a Brian Michael Bendis quote, where he said about the Ultimate Spider-Man comic, where he said that he doesn't write a book, he won't start writing a book until he knows who's going to be drawing it. And you can sort of see, and it might be that it might be that this is why this is so much better written than so much of the other stuff he's done over the last few years. Michael Lark's, like, he draws really good characters, really realistic interactions. And of course, the other book that he wrote, the other book that he did, Chris Bacalo, is doing the art on the Dark Avengers annual. And you don't get Chris Bacalo in and try and get him to draw really straightforward superhero stuff, because you can't read a Chris Bacalo page if you've got loads of characters jumping around beating each other up. So both of these artists just really have brought out the best in Brian Michael Bendis. As far as what the story constitutes, it's like, this is properly the beginning of the Siege storyline. Not entirely sure where it's going to go. There is a preview at the end, which makes me think that something really bad is going to happen to one of my favourite sort of second string background Marvel characters. Some horrible stuff is about to happen. Basically, Loki's kind of pulling Norman Osborn's strings quite a lot, and Doctor Doom's strings quite a lot, actually. So it should be interesting to see where it's going. But I'm actually properly excited.
No,
which
so
is,
am I.
Which is a bit ridiculous, really.
No, it looks really cool. I can't wait to start getting the Siege books next year.
One thing I did want to say, though, that's interesting is, between the New Mutants book that I'm reading, which seems to be having a really interesting take on the malevolent force bringing back superheroes from the dead and using them as essentially zombies, which is obviously something that's running through DC at the moment but is apparently falling flat. And the fact that at the moment Asgard is back on Earth and the Asgardians are trying to fit in with humans, which seems to be exactly what was happening in Superman with the Kryptonians about 6 months, a year ago or something. But it's working really well. It's like, I don't think Marvel are copying the DC stories necessarily, but they're certainly, the similarities are difficult to miss, but they're doing a really good job of them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know if it's controversial. I don't know what's going on with DC with Blackest Night at the moment. It's not ignited my interest particularly. I still love the DC books I pick up, and I'm all about, you know, Batman. I love the Batman books and so forth. I've gone on a great length. But since Final Crisis, I really enjoyed in DC, probably because of who they had writing it, because I think Grant Morrison's another one of those that could write a telephone directory and I'd probably sit down and read it. But there's something about the way Marvel are approaching. Secret Invasion wasn't so good. Post-Secret Invasion, though, I've enjoyed Dark Avengers. I think it's got better as it's gone on.
Yeah.
And I think now they've got to the point where maybe they're going to be wrapping up this story that spanned, as I say, you know, 7 years, they're claiming.
Yeah.
It just looks amazingly exciting.
A lot of stuff's coming together, and a lot of the missteps they've maybe done in the last few years seem to not count. Not be such a big... I mean, the Sentry, as much as he's a bit of a non-character to me still, is they're using him quite quite amazingly and stuff. And I mean, it's just really, really good.
I have to
feel
let,
sorry for Paul Volstagg.
I have to let you have that Dark Avengers anyway, actually. So that's very good, and that ties in, obviously, very heavily to The Siege as well. Yeah, Jane looks completely nonplussed while we're talking about this.
Learning a lot.
Most of it's not important. It'll all have changed in 2 months' time.
I think it's fair to say, Jane, knowing you as I do, I'm not sure. Because I think there's a misconception, isn't there, I'm doing air quotes, into comic books, you have to be into hero books.
Hmm.
And, you know, they cast quite a shadow over comic books, but
yeah,
I think
it's
you like what you like, don't you?
So, yeah, I've not really got into superheroes. I mean, I said last week after reading Superman All Star, that was just
All Star Superman,
but it's something else. But All Star Superman's something else
entirely.
That
was brilliant. Yes,
it
was
really
very good.
Good science fiction sort of heroes.
It's Grant Morrison. He's a genius.
I know, it was so beautifully written. That's got Iron Man in, is that right?
No,
it's Norman Osborn dressed up as he's basically got a suit of Iron Man armour. That he's changed, and he's called the Iron
Patriot.
Iron Patriot, isn't he, or something?
So he nicked Iron Man's armor.
You'll know him as
he nicked Iron Man's life, pretty much.
Because Iron Man's disgraced
And brain dead. I think.
And brain dead.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm reading it.
But you'll know Norman Osborn as the Green Goblin from Spider-Man. You'll probably recognise him.
Oh yes, I don't recognise the name.
Yeah.
He killed Gwen Stacy, and now he looks like Tommy Lee Jones.
He does.
They all draw him like Tommy Lee Jones,
with
which is quite nifty.
Brillo hair.
Hmm. Anyway.
Is that your spinning order?
That's me done.
Jane.
I'm next.
Are you regretting letting us go first now?
No.
You had quite a wait there, didn't you?
It was very interesting. See, I'm learning about this and...
We've just hit the 1 hour mark.
Getting
so
background.
Doing...
Holy moly.
Well done, everyone, if you've managed to listen this long.
Buy yourself a second tea towel and make yourself a second badge. And buy yourself a nice refreshing can of lager beer.
And take a picture and send it into...
No.
Oh, okay.
No, not this time. No, I don't want to see a picture of... Well, maybe, yeah. Depends how drunk you get. If you get really drunk and take an inappropriate photograph, send it into monkeyonmyback@gmx.com. Market for the attention of Nick.
Right. I'm going to talk about two comic books.
Okay.
That's
what we're supposed to talk about. Talked about three.
I always feel quite bad. I feel I'm doing people disservice because I don't have the amount of background information as you guys have.
We just talk too much about them. That's what I mean. All we basically need to do is say, "Oh, I bought this, and I think it's really good. If you like such and such sort of thing, you'll like this." But unfortunately, all of the comics we're reading at the moment are like stupidly big, portentous comments.
Yeah. And we got quite heavily into continuity, but the thing is, you can enjoy stories, and you shouldn't.
Yeah.
And good writers won't let continuity spoil your enjoyment of their story. It'll provide a little bit more richness to it, if you understand the continuity. But the two you've got, I don't think you need to know.
No, that's true. The first one I'm going to talk about is Madame Xanadu, which James recommended to me last month, and I read the issue 16 of a new, and it was part of a new story.
It's the first part of
a new story. And I've got issue 17, which I'm a week behind to pick this up last week. Really have been enjoying this. I've also picked up The Trade, which
number one,
explain the origins, which I haven't quite got through yet, but it looks like it's going to be a real nice tie-in to these series. So I'm looking forward to finishing that. The story starts off with a housewife who, very ordinary 50s housewife, cooking, pleasing her husband every Tuesday.
Oh, you mean actually?
Literally.
You mean having sex?
Every Tuesday.
Because you'd hope that she'd, I mean, if they love each other, they're pleased by each other all the time.
Yes.
You're not married yet, are you, Nick?
No, I'm not. Next May.
But
you're painting a picture, James, to be fair. So,
must I paint you a picture?
She does all, you know, the usual stereotypical 1950s housewife things until things start to change physically with her. She gets a thinner waist, bigger boobs and longer hair. And I found it quite fascinating that she was a bit annoyed about this. Which is... I know! I thought... Really? You're not happy about that?
It's amazing how people have changed yes, isn't it? From the 50s. Yeah.
People pay a lot of money to do that nowadays. Until the bug started spraying out of her mouth, then I realised maybe it wasn't such an attractive thing. She goes to see Madame Xanadu to find out what is up with her.
Just to clarify with the listeners, Madame Xanadu, it's nothing to do with the 80s film Xanadu, is it?
Was it 80s? I thought it was older than that.
1970s with
Olivia
Newton-John.
Yeah,
nothing
awful
to do with her.
Film Xanadu.
Great songs, though.
Great songs, awful film. Just like Rocky Horror, eh?
Anyways, so at the at the end of the first part, we're sort of left wondering what's wrong with her, what's Madame Xanadu going to do to help her. And then in the second part of the story, her symptoms get progress. They're building.
So fuck all is what she does.
Well, Madame Xanadu's obviously trying to find out why this is happening. She's, you know, nothing's been bubbling in the spiritual world, so it's unusual. She does some investigating, finds out some interesting things.
She's a mystical investigator.
Exactly. She has an insight into a naked party as well, which...
A naked Satanist party, yes. Which is my favourite sort.
It is. Which I found quite funny, and... Yes, well, obviously until I found out it was a Satanist party, I thought, they're getting their clothes off, what are they going to do?
That's very coy. It's a very good book. They don't need to hide the nudity, but they choose to anyway.
I liked that.
I don't know, maybe this is me. Amy Reeder is the artist. I kind of wondered, if it was a guy that was drawing it, would it be more graphic than we think? I didn't know whether
it
was...
I didn't know whether she had a different sensibility. I think if it was graphic, I like the way they've done it. It ties the panels and the dialogue brilliantly. I think if it happened full nudity, it would have been a bit... this is a bit...
I guess if part of the point is it's 1950s and the sensibilities are different, maybe they figure that out distract. Because Pia Guerra did Boy, the Last Man. She's a lady, and there's stuff in there.
I've got a very strange attitude towards women. It's beautiful, but I love the way that it's structured. It's almost a sort of coiling snake, almost, that the images appear within. On the page, it's beautifully set.
Yes, it's very good. I love
those do look really pretty because you talked about it a couple of times.
Oh, the art's gorgeous.
Yes,
it's absolutely fantastic.
I love the way it's the layout as well is brilliant. It's not the panels are just very abstract and they vary from page to page, which is good. Keeps you interested, I think.
Something that would be difficult to pull off in most of the digital delivery formats.
Very true.
Absolutely.
Just as a bit of a callback to last week's episode.
Absolutely. Good work.
So,
shape the changing man.
Starts with some revelations as to why this housewife is going through all these changes. She starts chain smoking to try and cure her illness.
It works sometimes, I'm sure.
Yes.
Cured my illness.
And then at the end, she's at her wit's end.
You're going to tell us what happens.
I'm not
going
to spoil it. She's at her wit's end, so she goes to see Madame Xanadu.
Again.
Yeah. And then there is a big twist at the end.
We've got no discipline at all.
I've advocated it many times.
Sorry.
It's fantastic, Madame Xanadu.
It's
really
brilliant.
Good.
Really enjoyed it. The artwork, brilliant. It's just, it's sort of not quite breathtaking because that's a bit.
it's a little bit dramatic.
Yeah, it's quite dramatic.
It's lovely, bright, bold art,
exactly.
Isn't it? It
suits
works
the story,
really well.
Suits the story and the tone brilliantly. I enjoyed that.
That makes me very happy because it's one of my favourite books at the moment, and I'm glad you like it.
Yes, I shall definitely be picking that up in the future. The second one I'm going to talk about is The Last Resort, issue one. I can't pronounce any of the people that are working on it, but James knows them.
Jimmy Palmiotti.
Palmiotti?
Palmiotti.
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 I'm glad I don't know
who I know best from the work he did with Garth Ennis on the Grizzly Back to Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, he did that. I mean, he's worked as an inker on an awful lot of stuff, I think.
But
he's an old
Back
buddy
to Brooklyn.
Of Joe Posada's.
Did you read Back to Brooklyn?
No,
I didn't
actually. I saw it.
If you like horribly, heart-rendingly painful stories.
Don't cry.
If the final part of Back to Brooklyn doesn't absolutely break your heart in two, then you're not human.
I apparently don't have a soul, though, I've been told.
Oh, dear.
I suspect even Back to Brooklyn will break your heart.
I didn't cry at my sister's wedding.
That's just been manly.
I don't cry at weddings.
In fact, I was giggling through most of
it. Weddings are quite funny. They can be quite funny.
I cried at my wedding, but it's only because it clashed with...
And you get married.
Only clashed with ITV showing Return of the Jedi. And I only got to see about half an hour of it.
I can see how that happened.
What a shame.
I like Return of the Jedi. Some people knock it. I think the Ewoks were cool.
Anyway, back to the last resort. Another one I picked out all by myself because I had to go to the comic book shop by myself today.
How come?
Because James had to go and attend to other matters.
I had other private matters to attend to.
Prior engagements to attend to. And the first thing, which is the one thing I seem to be basing my decisions on, if I don't already have some sort of knowledge of story, is the cover.
I know
we shouldn't talk about the cover, but this one was brilliant because I was looking at it and it's very sort of nice snapshot of a lot of people on the beach, and I kept looking at it and thinking, there's something wrong there. So I want you to go and have a look for this and find out what's wrong with the cover.
It's Jane's comic book, Where's Wally, there, isn't it?
Yeah. It was.
I saw that on was there a film called The... It's nothing to do with... I think there was a film called The Last Resort about a bunch of people on holiday who start getting picked off one by one. And I don't think it's related at all, but that was only 6 months ago, I'm sure.
There was also a chat show hosted by Jonathan Ross, which I don't think it's related to that
either. I don't think so.
Which Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer, they got their big break on that, didn't they?
Yes. God forbid she go wedding and change.
There was a rather lot of nudity in this one.
Really?
Yes. Already on the first
James
page.
Is interested.
Oh, there's boobs.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Starts off with a guy in a boat, really not looking very well, and trying to drink some water, and he's by a beach, and there's people asking him to come ashore, and then he comes ashore, and he seems to... Yes, more boobs, James. There's more nudity.
This is funny. James has this look on his face. Kind of a little bit like my nephew's. My nephew's, like, less than 6 months old.
That's a side boob.
That's not your side boob.
No, it's not. And he comes ashore. He's really, really not very well, and he collapses, and the very attractive... female lifeguard.
She topless too?
No, she's not. She's got a life jacket on, James. She's professional. tries to give a mouth to mouth, and then he... Yes. Then there is a bit of commotion.
Oh, so is he, Jane.
I'm not going to spoil this, because I turned the page...
He's bitten her fucking face off.
Is it set on a holiday resort?
I don't know yet.
Oh, but are there lots of people in the sun?
I don't know yet. Oh. It hasn't got to that part. I'm sorry.
Have you read this?
I have read it, but it's the first part.
Sorry.
It probably wasn't the best one to pick, because there's a lot of character building.
That first bit was not. It was somewhere
exactly,
sunny.
That was somewhere sunny, and then when you flip over the page, after James spoilt it and he's bitten her face off, it says 27 hours later. And then it's just pages of the character building, which is quite good.
Well, you've got to care about them before they get killed, haven't you?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how horror movies work.
And casualty.
More nudity and casual sex in the back of a taxi.
Any nudity?
The impression I'm getting is that this is going to be like a horror movie, like a horror, proper traditional horror movie.
Yes.
Where you get to know everyone and then they all die in horrible ways. Not unlike the very, very cool TV series that was just on, I can't remember what it was called. Harper's Island.
Oh, no, it's not going to be like that.
Sorry, I just sort of...
Did you not like that? Yes. You really made a face at me when you said that.
It's because I dipped in and out of it and I kept losing track and... But I did see the making of it.
Oh, well,
so
well,
I knew
that's
you
okay,
did it
then.
In the end. It's very engaging, very exciting. I loved the drawings, the illustrations, and the colouring is perfect. The colouring is... along with the dialogue, is one of the things that really stood out to me. It just really fits
in. It looks quite European, actually.
Yeah.
Painted.
Yeah, yeah, it really fits in with the story, though. And, all the character building. It's not all the characters, I think, yet. I think we'll get to know more later on, but they're on a plane towards the end of the story, and I'm going to leave it there.
From a distance, I can only really see it from a distance, but it's like it really does change the colour scheme. The pages really do change depending on what environment
they're in. Yes, it is. I liked that.
Which sounds like a no-brainer, but colourists don't always do such a good job. Actually, all of the comics we've talked about have had really good colouring in them.
Yeah, just flows to the story, which brilliant, keeps you engaged. It's the dialogue. The storyline so far is cracking. I've really enjoyed it. And there is one particular panel...
Is there more sex? I can see.
Yes, there is a lot of sex.
You want someone to read it out, don't you?
Yes, there is one part that I really want somebody to read out. And I think it has to be a man's voice to read this, to get the
full... And you don't want to swear?
No, I don't want to swear. I don't think it will sound as good if I say it, though. And I think James...
You think it'll be better in James's... We did rehearse this bit.
I'm going to do some acting. Right here. Right. Remember that, Gal?
Let me stop you there. Is there anything on it that indicates he's Texan?
Yeah.
Or yes, there is.
Is he wearing a hat? Yeah.
No.
No, but he talks about doing something in a city in Texas.
It's the pilots talking to each other before the plane takes off.
Status. Remember that gal with the purple fingernails in first class? The one that gave me her number coming back from Dallas. I fucked her so hard she ran out and wrote a book titled, "Did I Tell You How Hard I Got Fucked Last Night?" That, my friend, is how hard I fucked her.
This is Jane, who... You have to get this... You have to get a proper sense of the context here. Jane was so excited by that line of dialogue that she asked one of us to perform it, to say it, and then James read it before, and Jane giggled, and she just pissed herself laughing when he did it again. You love that too much.
It's an example of how funny I felt the dialogue. It probably isn't the best example.
Can I just point out, despite the fact that I wrote that, I don't think that...
You read it.
Necessarily.
You didn't write it.
That I didn't write it. You know, I'm not. I haven't read the book, and I don't think necessarily fucking someone very hard is really. They might not have had a good time.
I liked the boasting of the pilots when it probably wasn't anything like that.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I liked how openly he boasted this to his co-pilot.
But usually, I mean, surely that sounds like he probably had a better time than she did. Really, it was probably like
it probably didn't even happen.
He probably didn't even have sex with her.
Probably like
these two.
I liked the fanciful. He's one of the characters being built in it. I like the fanciful thought process he has throughout. And this is just a classic example of one of the things he says.
He's a jerky boy.
I, for one, would be happy to see something unpleasant and grisly happen to him.
I think this is what we're hoping to build up to.
Oh, I see.
But it was that one panel that was I did find extremely amusing.
I was really not expecting you to start giggling to the
James
extent
is
that you
perfect
did. Rendition.
Yes, it was brilliant.
I bet so, it isn't perfect. I'm sure if you come from Texas, you probably want to shoot me in the face.
Probably.
If they're from Texas, they probably want to shoot you in the face already.
I'm sure if you come from anywhere, you probably want to shoot me in the face.
Oh.
Oh, a little bit of self-deprecation, though, at the 1 hour and 78 minutes mark.
Anyway, so the last resort...
1 hour and 78... That's 2 hours and 18 minutes.
Yeah, that's Momcast, we're bending space.
The last resort, thoroughly enjoyed it, can't wait to pick up the next
You liked
part.
It?
It was very good.
Yeah, well, that's a fine recommendation. If
good
you
recommendation. If you're not really into the superhero genre, as I am finding myself not to be... I shouldn't say genre, should I?
It's a
medium.
Medium, sorry.
No, you gave me a hard time when I put comic books as genre.
You are such a... Has he told you that?
I said superhero genre, though.
Yeah,
that's right, wasn't it?
Fucking idiot, James.
I wasn't listening because I've got something I want to talk about. I don't care about you pissing on.
Can I wrap this up, guys?
Yeah.
Anywho, if you're not really into the superhero genre... like myself, The Last Resort will be for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's cool.
So anyone who doesn't like... If you don't like superheroes, you'll definitely like The Last Resort.
Oh, it might be for you, depending on your personal preference. the weather, where you
live. If you like horror films.
If it's day or night.
If you like horror films. That are a bit silly, it sounds like a bit sort of like gross.
If you like comic books with a bit of a giggle in.
If you like comic books and cyborgs.
I don't like
cyborgs. What was so distracting that you. That you wanted to talk about it to the extent that you didn't listen to what Jane was saying.
I just switched off, I got a bit bored.
I'm used to it.
Something I'm really looking forward to, it's coming up in January. We've spoken at a great length about what Marvel are doing. I think we spoke last week about how much we like what Dynamite are doing. I said I like what Dynamite are doing at the moment. I'm really excited. One of the books I really liked back in the 80s was Marvel's relatively short-lived run of RoboCop books. Which I must admit, I didn't keep when I was a kid.
Can I just stop? As you know, I don't like robots very much. Could we replace any word robot or cyborg with bunnies?
Okay, one of the books I really liked in the 80s was Bunny Cop. Yeah, Bunny Cop, based on the Paul Verhoeven film Bunny Cop.
I remember that. The tagline was half man, half bunny, all cop.
Yeah. Dead or alive, you're coming to my hutch.
Yeah.
I think was his catchphrase. You've got 20 seconds to give me one of those salt licks. Anyway, so one of my favourite was Bunny Cop in the 80s. A bit hit and miss. I actually went out and I didn't keep them from when I was a kid. And I actually, a year or so ago, bought, I think, almost the full run off eBay. And then, after reading them again, appreciated that there was a reason why they didn't last very long.
Marvel Comics, they were like Comic Code authorized, so they had like...
They were a bit hit and miss, I think it's
In case any of our listeners haven't seen Bunny Cop and don't know the basic story, can you explain the basic story of Bunny Cop?
Well, Bunny Cop is the story of a cop called Murphy, who's killed in the line of duty. Then as part of a experiment to keep the streets of Detroit crime-free, the corporation OCP, Omni Consumer Products, turned him into a half-man, half-bunny.
Yeah. They mainly specialise in like animal-related, like pet-related advances in science.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, his great foe was the weasel... was it
Weasel 209?
Weasel 209, the Weasel 209. It was the one who would insist that you give him a salt lick in 20 seconds or he'd run down your trousers and bite your knob off.
The reason I'm scared.
Really?
Yes.
The Weasel 209.
Is reason I have a fear for robots.
You're a fucking idiot then.
You don't need to carry on with that. I just thought it'd be funny to see how far you'd go.
Anyway, Dynamite, January 2009, are releasing... a series of, it'd be the first issue of Bunny Cop. It's bloody RoboCop!
I apologise to everyone listening.
Not only is that exciting.
And to you, James. Oh. You can call it RoboCop.
Okay, I will call it RoboCop. Not only is it exciting because RoboCop's coming back, and I think when dealt with someone who knows what they're doing with the character, it is an interesting character. I mean, Verhoeven's original film had a lot of depth to it. It wasn't just about, although, to be fair, first, sorry, it was just about seeing people having their arms blown off. But
20 seconds to comply, all
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, but there was also, you know, there was also had something to say.
Hmm.
What it was, I couldn't tell you. But it's written by Rob Williams, who was responsible for the excellent Class War.
Oh yeah, which we talked about with Eddie from Comex a few weeks back.
Yeah. So in terms of books that are upcoming that maybe are a little bit off the beaten track. RoboCop by the ever increasingly impressive Dynamite out in January, so something to look forward to. It will be out, I imagine, next few weeks as they claim it's out in January, but yeah, something I'm really, really looking forward to.
We should
I mention I'm looking forward to it?
You mentioned that.
Okay.
Last week we very briefly talked about how we haven't had a chance to talk about David Wynne's comic. To be honest, we haven't got it with us this week, so we can't really talk about it at any greater length, but the fact is that David hasn't actually brought it out yet, so when he's actually decided what he's going to do with it, it's a great it's a great comic. It's really sort of clever. There's loads of ideas in it. The art's great, so we will talk more about it later. David and I, we got to know each other on Twitter, but basically arguing with each other constantly. So it really pisses me off that he's quite talented.
Very talented.
Comic creator. Pretty talented comic.
Writes, draws.
I don't like it. Stop.
If he can play a stringed instrument, I may have to weep at his feet.
You were going to say bone him.
I don't really want to bone him. I think that would be a little bit...
Marry him.
Yeah, I'm already married. That would be big of me.
It would. It would be big of you. To show yourself.
It would, yeah. There's a lot of men to go around, though. Hunker, burning love.
Is bigamy just gender specific, or could you have multiple...
Bigs. What do you mean? No, I think men or women can be bigamists.
So if you had... Do you mean like
if you have a wife and a husband?
I don't know.
Oh, no, if I took another partner...
That would be
and I married them, that would be bigamy.
So it's just marriage, not gender specific. Yeah.
Better off sticking with polygamy.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least one of you in the relationship.
You can't have as much fun with polygamy as you can bigamy.
I've been in a polygamy. Well, no, I've had a girlfriend who was polygamous or polyamorous. I don't think she realised that she was at the time, but when you have sex with other men or want to have sex with other men... That makes you polyamorous, as far as I'm concerned.
Am I polyamorous then? Because I know when I see you, I get thoughts that I really didn't think I'd ever have.
Maybe. I mean, if you're trying to work out ways that you could morally or ethically fit it into your current ideology and stay in your current relationship. If you're thinking, I love this person, but I also want to touch that person's bottom, that probably counts.
I'm not going to tell you about a conversation I had walking on the other day. Nicola won't be listening to this one. we put a shout out, didn't we? Out on Twitter. I hate the phrase shout out.
And so far, nobody's given us anything we can really work with.
That's kind of not true. Ryan K. Lindsay, who we spoke about last week, because he had a piece published in the back of The Excellent Criminal, sent us a link to his very, very good blog, Stink Brown. Which is, I think, stinkbrown.com, where he essentially...
He's written a semi-pitch, hasn't he?
It's kind of a semi-pitch, it's kind of a good idea. I'm going to have to put the link back up now, because it's not a character I'm particularly familiar with, I'm embarrassed to say. I think, you know, that was it. Steel Serpent, Agent of Hydra.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to stinkbrown.org, there is Ryan's... pitch, if you like, about it. It sounds like quite a cool idea.
It's kind of the whole I think that whole series of that whole family of characters are kind of tapping into something from the 70s that's always
So cool kung fu.
Yeah. So which is quite interesting. I couldn't work out has this character actually, because I've been seeing the covers for there's a series coming out from Marvel at the moment, which has those very Iron Fist style covers.
I'm going to say that is very Iron Fist. I think that's what he's comparing
Immortal his idea to. But it seems to be like all of their kung fu characters or all of their related characters are getting a one shot or something. And I wasn't sure if this character has had one, and he's suggesting that he should get his own TV series. Or
I don't understand why Jane's just balancing her hair on the top of her head.
I'm hoping that what Jane's going to do is she's going to put her hair up in a bun and then she's going to put a pair of glasses on, and then in a couple of minutes when we've forgotten what she normally looks like, she's going to take her glasses off, let her hair down and go like that. And then it'll look like we've had a secretary, an old-fashioned secretary, turn into an old-fashioned bombshell right in front of us. Like in the... Why?
I think she'd
have... Why, without your glasses on, you look beautiful.
I'm quite right. That's not the first time somebody said something like that to me before.
What were you doing with your hair then?
I had a warm neck, so I was just trying to cool my neck off.
Oh, we probably shouldn't have drawn it in. Next time Jane's doing something weird, we should just leave her to it.
Just leave me to it. But, okay, sorry,
Momcast, say what you see. Eh?
The one thing about kung fu comics and martial arts comics, and it probably carries through to most other comics that I was thinking about today, is that For me, it's kind of like there was that Ghost, not the Ghost Rider, there was a Deadpool one-shot,
mm-hmm.
or no, Shang-Chi one-shot from a few weeks back, that I talked about, and that was a kung fu, all kung fu stories. And part of the problem when for me, the main thing about kung fu, I think the reason martial arts films have got so popular, and that's what these comics tapped into originally, got so popular back in the 70s and always have this sort of popularity, is the choreography of the fights and the way they're filmed and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all about the fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, not many people, although there's a kind of a campy fun to all of that nonsensical, badly translated Wu-Tang stuff.
When it's done well, it's violent ballet.
But it's the ballet, it's the sort of the choreography and stuff.
Elegance, I
guess. Yeah. And there are a few comics where that's pulled off.
Yeah.
And there are a few artists who do a really good job of pulling off. The guy who did Iron Fist to begin with, David Adger, is really, really good. But for the most part, it's one of those genres that the people doing it just think it's going to be cool to have kung fu or martial arts in a comic. Yeah. And then kind of end up having all of the bullshit dialogue-y stuff.
Uh-huh.
And not actually much. They'll have action sequences that are literally just two or three panels of people kicking each other, but with no flow to them. And it's the flow that really makes it. And it's like the way so many comics now have zombies in them, or there are some really good horror comics with zombies in them. But so many other comics have zombies in them, and they're just another thing. They're kind of like another trope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when he was talking about the martial arts comic earlier on today, I thought it sounded quite interesting. I'd like to see see really good martial arts comics, really good comics that tap into that. But I just think you have to be careful because there are an awful lot of bad ones around as well, or ones that don't have that flow to them. You know, Jesus seems to be a trope at the moment as well. Zombies, Jesus fighting zombies seems to be. I feel like I've seen two or three comics with Jesus fighting zombies in it. At that point, there are going to be some that just aren't very good.
And he's very popular, though. I mean, I know he's...
Jesus.
His book's very popular, isn't it?
He's got his own MySpace page as well.
Good for him. I friggin' hate MySpace.
Does anybody... Twice this week, I've had to go to MySpace because there are a couple of people who only really communicate with me via email in MySpace.
Yeah.
And it kind of depresses me, MySpace. It feels like, I sort of said in the week, it feels like one of those clubs that you used to go to when you're in your teens, and they seemed really cool, and you go there now every now and then because you think it will be quite nice.
It's like a youth club, isn't it?
Yeah, but basically the only people who are in it, it's all either 15-year-olds...
Pouting,
or people that you remember from when you were there. But they've been carrying on going there every week.
Because they're looking at the 15-year-olds.
Well, they're essentially the sort of people who are 36 and haven't actually, in my case, 36, and haven't changed their routine at all since they were in their early 20s, which is a little bit sort of... That's always a little bit depressing. I always find it a little bit depressing. So anyway, I don't know. But that's...
Cheers for that, Ryan. Yes. We really appreciate it. I mean, certainly, as I said, Alice and Ryan both got back to us. We always appreciate people saying what they'd like to hear us talk about.
Yeah, I was a bit... I didn't mean to be so negative. That was
You're lucky Ryan's so far away, so he can't come and kick your ass. Because I am sure he would do so.
But you do love arguing, so maybe it'll spark a new argument.
I don't love arguing.
We enjoy it with him.
No, you're talking about David. Oh, that's sorry. Somebody else.
Eek.
David's much closer.
He is, isn't he?
Mm.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, there's no violence intended or anything. It's just... what else were we going to talk about?
We were going to spotlight some one-shot trades you bought. Because we were thinking about where Jane's so new to this. What are the gateway drugs into the world of comic books? Especially for someone who's not necessarily... someone who doesn't really have a interest in superheroes.
It's kind of a recurring theme, isn't it? And it's... Yeah. It used to be easier because there used to be two or three that you always went to. Looking back, those are quite, you know, Watchmen was always one of them, and that's very superhero-y. It doesn't really make sense without superheroism. Yeah. And the whole issue's got muddy. You used to be able to point people at Swamp Thing if they liked horror, but Swamp Thing's changed a lot. Yeah. Same with John Constantine and stuff. So I picked out, I was rushing around. It was a bit of a last-ditch effort, to be honest, because I was rushing around.
Shall we be honest about... Because we always do a spotlight at the end. I kind of stitched you up this week, didn't I, by sending you an email today kind of saying, well, I think it's your turn.
Yeah.
And not really giving you any time to prepare for it at all. Because believe it or not, we actually think about it occasionally.
A little bit. Yeah, we try to.
I think you've done well.
We got a little bit of time. I won't go into a lot of detail. I won't go into a lot of detail about any of these books, but it's just, I picked out a few that aren't too superhero and aren't tied to anything else, and are just books that I go back to quite regularly. Okay. The first one in this little pile is a little Oni Press book, written and drawn by Steve Rolston, who has worked with Warren Ellis and Greg Rucker, among other people, and it's just it's about a woman called Marie who basically is just a fairly ordinary girl who hangs out with her friends and sort of worries about boys and stuff like that. I can't remember off the top of my head if she actually worries about boys, or I'm just assuming that she must do because she's ordinary. And,
and a girl.
And basically her and a friend are wandering along at the beginning of the book. They're just puttering around, talking about their dreams and stuff, like, you know, dreams they had the night before and stuff like that. And she sees, she sees somebody across the road that she hasn't seen in years who looks a bit sort of like he's come upon bad harder times, and he gets run over by a van right in front of them, and she runs across the road to see to him and ends up getting into a hospital. But then the day basically goes to shit after that. It turns out that there's a fairly dodgy looking guy who is keeping an eye on what's going on with this guy Robbie, who's got run over. I believe there's an exchange of some of a bag or something. Basically, it's one of those stories where somebody stumbles into something at the beginning and then spends the rest of the story trying to extricate themselves from it. You don't really know what's going on until the final act. There's lots of really interesting characters in it, but it all ends up unfolding in the final. In the final few pages, and it's just a really satisfying little sort of action thriller.
Yeah.
And it's all in one book. It's $9.95. So I guess what if it's still in print, and if you can still get hold of it, it's probably only about £5 or £6.
Yeah.
And it's just a really satisfying little. It's under 120 pages. Read.
Yeah.
There are some. You really get to like the character, and there are some gut wrenching moments in it. Basically.
Okay.
So that's good. Another book, slight change of pace. There's a European, I'm not entirely sure where he's from, Norwegian cartoonist called Jason, who draws and writes graphic novels with anthropomorphized characters. All of his characters are like bears or dogs or whatever. And the one I've picked, I've got a few of his books, but the one I picked is called Hey Wait. And it's basically about two childhood friends to whom something bad happens early on, and then the action's kind of split between the two guys when they're kids and one of the guys in later life whose life just isn't really very nice. And you kind of find out what happened way back when, how he feels about it and stuff. And it's a very, I mean, it feels very... We talk about very European style when we're talking about really heavily rendered, like quite nicely rendered or illustrated comics or whatever. This feels more like a European film. It feels more like a French film or a European film or something. It's very slow and sort of a hypnotic pace. And you don't really know what's... Characters have interactions and you don't really know what the significance of them is going to be, like is or is going to be or whatever. And it's just... It's one of the interesting things about anthropomorphized characters that I talked about American Elf a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That oddly, in some ways, you can relate to the characters more.
Yeah.
When they look like animals.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's really.
Is it because you're not making judgments on them as human beings?
Maybe. And so you're sort of looking for characteristics in them. And it's just a really good... I mean, a lot of his books, there are slightly, if not supernatural, sort of slightly metaphysical aspects to it, I think. He's done other books where that's amped up and a bit... But this is just a really human book called Hey Wait. And again, I think most of Jason's stuff's still in print from Fantagraphics books. And that's only $9.95, and it's a completely self-contained story as well. Possibly doesn't have as much closure or as much of a conclusion to it as One Bad Day does. One's a thriller, the other one's kind of a sort of a metaphysical ramble about humanity. Very, very quickly, there's a it's quite a monster of a book called Three Fingers by a guy called Rich Kozlowski. Now, this is a bizarre book. It's, it came out a few years ago. It's $14.95. Pretty sure it's still in print from Top Shelf. All of these should be able to find on Amazon. And it's a comic, but it isn't. It's basically a documentary. Yep. It's written as it's a documentary. It's like an expose on some very thinly disguised cartoon characters. It's basically a documentary uncovering the scandal of cartoon characters in the past who, in the heyday of Hollywood and its love affair with the various cartoon characters, it was considered. It's basically about the act of because cartoon characters are only supposed to have three fingers. Cartoon characters who had more fingers were getting like backstreet surgery and stuff to remove their extra fingers and stuff. And it's and although it is quite funny and the idea of it's quite funny, the way it's laid out is just sort of well, it's the depictions of it's supposed to be all of the characters like Foghorn Leghorn. I just went past Mickey Mouse. I think is in there as well. Sylvester the Cat, and it's all of them years and years later. So Sylvester's kind of a hipster, a bit of an old man hipster and stuff like that. They're not the actual characters. Sylvester isn't actually Sylvester, and it isn't Mickey Mouse. It's Ricky Rat, I think, or something like that. But it's just, it's quite a cool book because it's not like anything else, no, basically.
It's very original, isn't it?
One of the ones actually you bought, that was the one I gravitated towards. Yeah. I haven't read any of these. I really want to own that. It looks really cool.
On the one hand, it's funny, and on the other, it says a bit about the cartoons themselves, cartoon characters themselves. But at the same time, it's kind of a deconstruction of the way Hollywood is and the way celebrity works and stuff. It's just great. It's really good. And finally, and very very briefly, because I need to reread this. Last of the Independents. Now, we talk about Matt Fraction all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And mostly for the superhero stuff, the mainstream stuff he's doing at the moment. But Matt Fraction wrote and Kieran Dwyer drew The Last of the Independents a few years ago. It came out from AIT Planet LAR, L-A-R, that is. I imagine if you type Last of the Independents into Amazon, you'll find it. This is only $12.95, so again, it'll be about $8.95.
Just
under
it,
anyway. Yeah. And it's a heist story, basically.
Cool.
It's in this amazing... It comes in this slipcase, which means it can go alongside all of your other graphic novels on the shelf, but it's in kind of widescreen format. And it's just a really satisfying heist story. It starts on the hop, and it just keeps going. It doesn't really stop, and it's kind of got a... It's like halfway between that sort of snappy... I don't want to compare it to things like Ocean's 11 or Quentin Tarantino stuff, because that just seems like it's doing it a disservice. But it's kind of tonally halfway between the two. It's quite... The characters are very real, but there's kind of the pace of it. It's just really snapping along and... You care about all of the characters, even though you're finding out about them on the hop. It's I don't know how many pages it is, but it's another one of those books that it's completely self-contained. All four of these books are so. It's Last of the Independents, Three Fingers, Hey Wait, and One Bad Day.
And if Jane had to pick one,
well, that'd be up to Jane. I mean, I think.
Or if we had to recommend one to Jane.
If we had to recommend one, I think. For the fact that it's the most unusual, and you probably won't have heard of it unless you've managed to come across it some other way. Three Fingers is just really interesting. It's also probably the least likely to still be in print, but I don't know. So, but Three Fingers is really good. I mean, it's also the most expensive of the bunch. So,
it's certainly the one I'll be looking for on Amazon tomorrow.
I was drawn to as well.
So, well, you don't have to. You can just borrow mine.
No, I need to own things. It's unfortunately part of my issues I have with comic books.
We've managed to talk for ages again.
We have. Who'd have thought it's only three of us?
Yeah.
No, I always thought it was John jabbering on that made us last so long. So.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't. It's us.
Who'd have thunk it?
Do any of us have any plans for the rest of the week or the weekend or anything?
Me. I'm trying to work out how we're going to get back down to Earth in this capsule because I've got no spacecraft that's suitable for re-entry.
Oh dear, I need to get back for the weekend.
What are you doing this weekend?
This weekend? I'm excited about this weekend. It's an early Christmas present. I'm going to be a Ghostbuster for the weekend.
My childhood
dream is coming true.
So you kick all last chain, don't you?
I know. But I'm not very good at sticking at things, have you noticed?
Yeah, you're a flippity gibbet.
I do get my certificates to say I've passed my courses. Yeah. Apart from the zombie one, still another part to go for that.
Okay. It's good. But, is that a recognised qualification I'm going to get from that? Is it an MVQ, an HND, something like that?
Yes.
Good.
It's part of a degree.
That'd be good. Unpacking everything,
yes,
is it?
Yeah. I've got poster pack and I've got some overalls with my name on and everything.
Well, just to spite you this weekend, then I'm going to be a cyborg.
Why? Why would you do that?
Just to be spiteful.
Next weekend, I'm going to be a robot killer. Yeah.
Don't turn into robots.
This weekend, I'm going to the bank to talk to them about buildings insurance so that I can buy a house.
That is the scariest thing.
Actually, I think I'm going for a Thai meal. That'd be nice.
if we can get back to work.
You know what? We've really got to get better. I mean, obviously, aside from Jane. This when you get to the bit where you have to where we're sort of talking about what we're going to be doing, suddenly seems like we're not really pushing the envelope with our lives that much.
I've pushed the envelope. I want to get back in it now and sort of steal down the sticky edge of my life and sort of snuggle down into the corner.
In my youth, I still want to experience all this mad killing of spiritual.
I'm 34. I've done shit. I don't want to do shit anymore.
I want to have bought this house so I don't have to be buying a house anymore. Pretty much most of my aims and ambitions at the moment are doing things so that I don't have to do them anymore. That's the only reason I do anything.
Do it once, do it right.
Buying a house sucks ass.
Well, that's what I'm doing. And you're doing the ghostbusting thing. James?
I'm going to go out and eat with friends.
If we can get back to Earth.
If we can get back to Earth from this space capsule. That is re-entry. Maybe we could just put some heat shields on Jane's back and surf her.
Oh.
Why not?
Just put her on autopilot. You know it's brighter than you.
Fucking square.
Re-entry's a bitch. That should be a tagline for a movie, really. Anyway, that's us done, I think, isn't it?
Thank you for listening
to us again.
I think it went
quite well considering. It always gets longer when we really don't know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not structured. And don't forget, if you do download this on the Friday when it's first available, be sure to check out Nick's Twitter feed on the Friday.
Oh, God.
The highlight of my Fridays is Nick's director's commentary, which I now put him under the pressure to do every week.
I'll do it anyway. So,
thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.